Testing 1, 2. Good afternoon, everyone. All right, please open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. And while you're turning there, I want to thank you to Borin for that song. That song, I'm Falling on My Knees, that Hungry song, that's an old song. 20 years ago from an old Vineyard song. And I remember when I was listening to that CD in my apartment, I thought, wow, this would be a great song to sing in church. And we've never sung it until today. So I'm so happy that finally the Lord answered my prayer 23 years after I thought about it. So hallelujah. Okay. I want to show everybody here the video that we made and that's been mentioned before. It's the introduction video on the YouTube English service introduction video. So, yoroshiku onegaishimasu.
If you've clicked on this video, it means that you're looking for an English-speaking church here in Hiroshima. My name is Chris. I'm a pastor here at Mitaki Green Chapel, and we are a five-minute walk from Mitaki Station here in Hiroshima. So if you're free on Sunday from 1:30 p.m., we'll be more than happy to welcome you. God bless.
Yeah, all right. I do not enjoy seeing myself on the screen there. But yeah, it's just a one-minute introduction video. Obviously not for you who are already here. But basically the idea is that anyone who clicks or does a Google search of Hiroshima Church Christian English, that this video will be one of the search results. And if they click it, they'll see this and then hopefully have an option. Speaking of searching for English-speaking churches here, last week I met with a church planter who recently planted a new church here in Hiroshima, right at the heart of downtown. It's on Hondori. It's called Victory Family Center, VFC. The pastor's name is Pastor Kenny, and he has a wife named Lynette. And they planted the church last May, March or May, but they've been here less than 1 year. And right now, their services are both in English and in Japanese. It's a bilingual service. And I've been here since 1999, and this Mitaki English service has been one of the only English services here in the city. Now, there have been other ones that have come and gone at other places that are bilingual or international. And every time somebody wants to come and plant a church in Hiroshima, I am 100% all for it. We want the gospel to reach as many people in Hiroshima as possible. There are 1 million people here. And every time I go downtown, I see more and more new faces, especially from foreign countries. And I say, well, they're not here at Mitaki, so they need a place to go. And if downtown Hiroshima is more convenient, then God bless. I'm all for it. So I met with Pastor Kenneth last week. We prayed together. We want to support each other as much as possible. And Julia, who's here just visiting us for the first time, she's part of a mission team that is also going to plant a church here in Hiroshima. I think downtown somewhere. I'm familiar with the backstory of it because of my connections with other missionaries here. And I'm excited about it. It's another vision to bring more workers, more gospel evangelists and churches here in our city, our home. So I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. And yeah, hopefully we'll get to know each other a little bit more. And I want to hear more about it. So welcome to our city. Welcome to our church. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think that's good for the introductions so far. Oh, one more thing. Sorry. Our church, this English, International English Service, there's a call to prayer this year. Prayer. More prayer. More prayers. People who pray. And 12:45 across the street, please come and join us for prayer on the second floor. And yeah, we're going to pray for each other, pray for the service, pray for, yeah, the church. So anyways, keep that in mind. Hopefully next week, I'll see more people there. So anyways, all right, I think that covers it. Let's go ahead and go to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. I'm going to read a kind of sandwich. This is a grace sandwich. And the grace sandwich means the middle part is grace. And Jesus is speaking in the middle part of this conversation, talking about grace. But the outside, the top and the bottom, the bread part of the sandwich, he's talking about bread. So that's what our focus is today. Last week, we explored Jesus' expression, his saying that he is the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. This week, we're looking at the expression, I am the bread of life. And so we turn now to the gospel. I have the thing here. Okay, so I'll go ahead and read from verse 33. Please join me at verse 37, and we'll skip down to 47 and 48. So let me open. This is Jesus speaking. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. Let's read together. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Verse 47. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. The very words of Jesus. Amen. So, as you know, I'm a full-time school teacher. And a few months ago, I was speaking to a high school student. We were talking about life, and I asked this high school student, actually two high school students, and I asked them, what happens after you die? What do Japanese people believe about life after death? And the answer surprised me, because Japanese are Buddhist, Confucian. They don't believe in life after death. In Buddhist philosophy, there is nothing after death. There is consciousness that you are absorbed into. But it's interesting what this student told me. He said, yeah, we believe that your spirit or your soul goes to a place called heaven. It's somewhere in another dimension. It's immaterial. It's not physical. And if you're good, you go to this place, heaven. And if you're bad, maybe there's a place called Jigoku, hell. And I said, really? That's what you believe? That's what Japanese people believe? And he said, I think so. That's a very Japanese answer. It's not yes, not no, it's I think so. It's very Japanese. And I said, where did you get that idea? And they said, well, I don't know. That's just kind of what we read stories when we were children, and you know, it's kind of the general idea. And I was very surprised. I've been here a long time. But I think that's kind of what Japanese people believe. You know what that is? It's not Buddhism. That's Platonism. That's the philosophy of the ancient Greeks, of Plato, who believed in the duality of humanity, the physical and the spiritual. And the spiritual was the ultimate reality. And so when you die, your ultimate self, which is your soul, goes to, quote-unquote, heaven. That's not the Bible. Christians don't believe that when you die, your soul, which is your true self, goes to the clouds and goes to a place called heaven. You don't find that idea in the Bible, especially not in the New Testament. Now, if you're wondering, well, Pastor Chris, I thought that's what the whole point of Christianity is. To be a Christian is to be a good person so that when you die, you'll go to heaven and not hell. No, it's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that someday heaven will come to earth, and that heaven and earth will be united. That's called eternal life. And Jesus was the first one to come to bring heaven to earth, to bring the blessing, the abundance, the life, the goodness, the glory, the beauty, the redemption of all of life by coming down. And so that's the idea here. You know, when he says, I'm the bread of life, and he's talking about eternal life. You see there in verse 47, he who believes has eternal life. That's what he means, is that life of heaven coming down. Now, the Japanese word for life, it's interesting because in English we have one word, just life, which has a whole range of meaning. In Nihongo, I love Nihongo. It's so many words. If you look up in your Google Translate, just type in life, and you'll have a whole list, right? Seikatsu, lifestyle. Inochi, life. Seimei, life. Right? Jinsei, life. So many words to describe the different various aspects of life. And in Greek, which was the original language this was written in, John, the author of this text, he has two words for life in Greek. The word bios, which we get our word biology from, and zoe, Z-O-E, zoe, which we get our word life, richness of life. So I think in the Nihongo, the word bios, which is, you know, the biological function of your heart, your organs, and physical life, is bios, which I think the best word maybe would be seimei, because you have what's called seimei hoken, life insurance. In other words, if you die physically, your relatives or your loved ones will get insurance, right? That's seimei hoken, life insurance. But then there's another kind of life, which is seikatsu, lifestyle, living, which in the Greek would be zoe, which is not bios. It's not just physical life. It's all of life. It's quality of life, eternal life. And Jesus says, I am the bread of zoe. I'm the bread of the quality of life. And so today, this week, I want to have a bit of meditation on what that means. The bread of life, of the quality of zoe, of living. So, what's the difference? You know, I have my job I've had now for about 12 or 13 years. I started 2009, So I think that's, am I off on the math? Almost 14 years? 13, 14 years, okay. I'm an English teacher, not a math teacher. So I remember it's a very busy job. And at the beginning of doing this work, I remember I was so tired because it was just day after day. You work Monday to Saturday, sometimes Sunday. And you work sometimes 14 days straight, 21 days straight, no breaks. That's just the life of a teacher in Japan. So there was, very distinctly, I go into our dining room, I sit at the table, sit down to eat a meal. It is 7 o'clock. It's a 7 o'clock meal. I'm telling you the absolute truth. I did not know if it was 7 a.m. or 7 p.m. I was so tired. Was I eating breakfast or was I eating dinner? I had no idea. I said, Nahomi, what am I eating right now? Is this breakfast or is this dinner? I was so exhausted from just waking up, getting some food, going to work, coming home, eating, shower, go to bed, repeat, repeat, repeat. Okay? That is not living. That is existing. That's bios, right? It's mechanical. And the situation I described just now, I'm pretty sure a lot of you know how that feels. And I guarantee many of the people in this city know exactly how that feels. I was watching a documentary that was made recently by our students. They were making a documentary about the Gino Jishusei, quote-unquote technical trainees, who come from the Philippines, come from Cambodia, Vietnam, Laos, poor country. They come here to work. And there's a documentary made about a Vietnam woman working at the clam factories, clam producers at Miyajima. And she had this terrible, she has a son back in Vietnam, baby son. She's here working as a quote unquote trainee, cheap labor. And you see her just sitting at her station cracking oyster shells, cracking oyster and just shucking them. And what she said is, I get up, I eat, I work, I go home, I sleep, and I repeat every day. It's a heartbreaking story. So there's people, Japanese, foreigners, we all know what it means to exist. But Jesus says, I'm not here for you just to exist. I'm here to give you joy, abundance, peace, redemption. I'm here to give you purpose and meaning. The bread of life, that gives you energy, uncreated energy. Whereas bios, just existence, you know what that is? That's hell. We're not here just so that we can live forever, existing forever. That's the definition of hell. Hell is eternal existence. Get up, work, go to bed, and repeat forever. Doesn't end. Jesus says, I'm not here for eternal existence. I came to give you eternal life. Play, music, games, dancing, creativity, art, right? Flavor, food, all life, not just sustenance, but taste. And that's what I'm here to give you. So there's a distinction there. So I want to give you the contrast. What's the difference, okay? So we have bios and zoe, just existence versus exhilaration. But Jesus says something interesting. He says, do not work for food that perishes. This is the same chapter. But for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. So Jesus is saying, there's another kind of fuel not just bread, the spiritual bread of fuel, that gives you something that will help you continue, look forward to. But there is another kind of fuel in your life that, you know what? It runs out. It perishes. It means it's exhausted. It's limited. It's finite. Don't work for that kind of fuel, that bread, but work for the one that will last forever, one that gives you exhilaration. And the Bible has many examples of these finite, false, limited fuels. And one example is given to us by Paul in chapter 5 of the letter of Ephesians. He says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. I'll give you another word, which leads to exhaustion, weariness. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So we see here a false life, a false fuel, a fake Zoe, and a true life, a true Zoe, a true fuel. And so one of those things is that, like, for example, wine. Okay, so Paul is talking about drinking. Now, wine, good, right? If you have there's some kinds of liquors and alcohols, the purpose is to make the meal more enjoyable through flavor, okay? All right? However, if you're going to drink alcohol and drink beer and drink wine and drink liquor, not for the flavor, not for the enjoyment of the taste, not to enhance the meal, but to get boldness, relax, lose your inhibitions, be able to have a conversation, just be free. You know what that's called? A drinking problem. When you're drinking to become a different person, to become more outgoing, to be more to lose consciousness of your inhibitions, and you rely or you depend on some other substance to make you exhilarated. That's a false Zoe. And Jesus and Paul are saying, that's just one example. Where if you're going to look, you're going to try to get something, it could be wine, it could be a hobby, it could be food itself, it could be, you know, YouTube, Netflix, Instagram, and you're sitting there to kind of give you something to feel, something to let loose, you are missing out because, here it is, all of those things will run out. It's exhausting and they're exhausted, they're limited, they lead to exhaustion. So what does that mean? It means this. You need more, and you need more, and more, just to get high, just for that exhilaration. And you become dependent. So the first time you have it, that first hit of the caffeine, it's amazing. But then as your body and as your brain, right, accumulates and gets used to it, you need more of it just to reach that first level again, right? Nothing in this world will ever satisfy your desire for life. You need something out of this world. You need something from heaven. You need something from the very throne room of God. Something not created, something not made, but is the maker himself. That's the gospel. The gospel is that heaven, the life of heaven, the beauty, the exuberance, the exalted, it's coming and it fills you. He fills you. Unless your drug is Jesus Christ himself, you'll never be satisfied. That's what he's saying. Because all of those are, they're limited, right? Number two, here's another thing that it's another reason why it's false. Other reason why all those other things are false, they're bread that perishes, is they're a kind of escape. So getting back to the wine analogy, another reason people like to drink or have a drinking problem is life is boring, life is meaningless, life is hard. Let me run away as fast and as far as I can. All right? Let me open my phone. Let me get on TikTok for 2 hours, 3 hours. And let me just scroll and scroll and scroll because I don't want to deal with reality. I just don't want to deal with the darkness, the evil, the mess. And I'll just escape. Let me drink it away. Let me go to this hobby. And I feel good, I feel nice, and then when I leave it and I gotta go back to work, it's miserable again. So let me escape. That is the bread that perishes. That is the wine that leads to debauchery, exhaustion. Now, I want to warn you, if you're a Christian, and many Christians do this, they think that religion or Christianity or faith is a way to escape this world. And that's why there's this idea of going to heaven. I need to get away from this world, right? And so they're not using wine, they're not using drugs, they're not using hobbies, they're not using the internet to escape. They're going to use heaven and church. And this is my little pocket to get away from there. That's also a big mistake, because that's not reality. Let me show you what reality is. In Genesis chapter 1, God made all of this. And you know what he said? It's good. Reality is good. This world he made was to be good. Now, we made it evil. We rebelled. We sinned. We disobeyed. Right? We participated in the darkness. We broke the world. Okay? And so here's the thing. We're like kids who break the toy and then just leave it there. We run away. We don't want to face it. We've broken the cookie jar and we run away. And Jesus says, No. I'm gonna let you face this. I'm not going to smack you. I'm not going to, you know, look what you did. Jesus says, I'm not here for that. You know what Jesus says? I'm here to heal you. I'm here to feed you. I'm here to accept you. And I'm here to let you have the ability to fix it yourself, to partner with me. That's what he's doing. What is reality? Let me show you. God, who made the world, has come. And we who broke the world have run away. But God says, look, we run away. We ran away to our darkness, our sin, and our mess. And you know what Jesus did? He came and he entered our darkness. He received our sin. He took our brokenness. And by taking his wounds, we are healed. So what does that mean? It means that through Jesus, when we look at him and give our life, our hope, our trust in Jesus, our darkness, our sin, our failures are transformed, are redeemed. Like we sang, we come to the altar and God's arms are open wide. What's the reality? What's the truth? On occasion, somebody will come to me for counseling and will sit, you know, somewhere in the church, quiet place in the office, and they'll tell me some problem, some struggle, some sin that they're going through. Okay? I've been doing this, Pastor Chris, and I feel terrible. I've been involved in this thing, and I feel bad. And then they're looking at me. They don't say it, but their eyes are saying it. Their faces say it. They're saying, Chris, Pastor Chris, am I a bad person? What's my answer? I don't say it, but in my mind, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying, it's a lot worse than you think. What's the truth? The truth is, you are 100 times, 1,000 times worse than you believe. The darkness, the sin, the rebellion, the disobedience, trust me, it goes a lot deeper. The good news is, God loves you more than you could ever hope. The depth of your sin goes so much deeper. But I'm telling you, the love of God is so much greater. That's reality. That's the bread of life. The bread of life says, I'm going to come in. I'm going to keep you from running away. I'm going to turn you around. And we're going to look at this reality together. And I got this great word for you. It's called redemption. We're going to take what's broken and we're going to make it better than it even was before it was new. We're going to engage in this. So listen to me now. Okay? I know we go to Monday and it's hard. And you look back on the last week and you're full of regret. And in some ways you're suffering. There's physical suffering from health problems. There's emotional, psychological suffering from mental health problems. I know. Okay? But listen, we're not trying to run away from them. We're not trying to medicate so that we can escape from them. We have the gospel, the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm using this suffering to bring you through the death into the life. It's called the resurrection. The resurrection. Jesus came, entered our sin and darkness, and overcame through his resurrection. That's his mission. That's the gospel. And so please look at your suffering. Don't run away from it. Look at your hurt and your broken. Don't medicate. Don't escape. Use the blood of Christ. Use the gospel. Use the power of the resurrection to face it, repent, and walk right through it. It's going to hurt. It's going to sting. And you will cry and weep bitterly. Yes. But then it will transform into dancing and singing. And I'm telling you, you'll come back on a Sunday. We'll be singing a song. And you're like, yes. Yes. The blood of Jesus Christ. I'm hungry and you filled me. I'm satisfied by Christ. The name is healing and power and glory and beauty. That's what Jesus came to do. So, Christians, followers, disciples of Christ, let's take the bread of Christ. Now, this is a perfect sermon for Communion Sunday, okay? But that was last week. Yeah. Okay? But that's okay. Jesus is the Word of God, the bread of life. So you take the Word that's being preached to you and you receive it into your heart, let it dig right in there, and let it fill you. The bread of life. Jesus offers himself to you. All right? Let's feed on him, and we'll go into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday with life. Not bios, but a Zoe. So there was a father. He loved to travel. His work caused him to travel a lot. He was flying a lot. So he had lots of, mileage, you know, frequent flyer miles. So one time he thought, I'll bring my son with me. I can take him with me. He can fly for free. We'll do some business class. It'll be great. His son was 7 years old. So they get on the plane, they're in business class, his son gets the window seat, And the flight attendant comes. She says, "Oh, little boy, you know, you want a drink?" He says, "Yeah, can I have a cola?" She says, "Oh, yeah." She brings him the cola. He finishes that. "Well, you want some more cola? Oh, do you have melon soda?" "Yeah, melon soda, great." She brings the melon soda, you know. And the plane takes off, you know, and he's up in the sky, and he's looking out the window, the clouds, you know, it's beautiful. And he leans his seat back, you know. 7 years old, and he looks at his dad. He says, "Dad, this is living." You know? And the dad says, "What do you mean? You know, were you not alive 5 minutes ago? Your heart was not beating, you know?" But the dad understood. The little seven-year-old understood, right? Somebody comes and gives me free soft drinks, you know, every 2 minutes. I'm up in this beautiful place. I can relax. I'm with my dad. I'm living, right? For you, what is living? God looks at you and he says, "Are you living? Are you existing? What are you doing?" Maybe for you, it's sitting in front of a TV or your phone and just, "I'm living." And Jesus says, "No, I got more for you. I have life for you." Right? It's not just the phone and the drink. Community, redemption, healing, creativity, flavor, right? Colors. That's what I have for you. So, yeah, let's come. Let's go. And let's receive the bread of life. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, give us the bread of life even now as we wake up tomorrow and go to work. We ask for the bread of life to sustain us, to feed us, to carry us through each day. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.